Thank you, Bubba and Melinda. I think I speak for the church that y'all don't have to have an invitation to sing. You just call me and say, I've got a song, and show up. Y'all agree? Because they just sort of set the table this morning. Would you turn to Hebrews chapter 12? Now, if you've been here the last couple of weeks, you know that our sermons have come from Hebrews chapter 12. And so this may be the last one, I don't know. But Hebrews. You know, Bubba and Melinda had not been married very long, and they kind of got into a disagreement. You know, husbands and wives have conversations sometimes. And, well, this one was getting a little heated because they were having a disagreement about who's supposed to make the coffee every morning. And Bubba thought it should be the wife, and Melinda thought... What do you need? And anyway, see what I've had to put. I'm so proud to be here with you. And anyway, they were really having a tough time. And Bubba said, since we are people of the Bible and our pastor insists on that, if you can find it in the Bible where I am to do the coffee, I will. But otherwise, you do it. Well, just in a little while, she said, I found it. And said, what did you find? I found it where the Bible says you are supposed to do the coffee. You're supposed to brew the coffee. He said, what is it? She says, it says right there, he brews. I don't know if that's a true story or not, but it sounds pretty good. Bubba, being a retired detective for McLennan County, he and I have shared a lot of stories together about some of the escapades that he had. But one time I went riding with Bubba, and he pulled this fellow over. And when he walked up to the door and looked in the window, he saw by the side of the driver a bottle of wine which had been opened. And, of course, that's against the law, I assume. And Bubba said, hey, man, you got wine there. He said, oh, no, that's water. And Bubba said, oh, no, I recognize wine when I see it. You don't know who you're messing with. The guy said, no, officer, this is water. He said, let me have it. And so Bubba took it and smelled of it, then let the man smell of it. And the man said, well, praise the Lord, he did it again. Bubba let him go. All right. Well, Hebrews. Bubba's going to make the coffee in the morning. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's read beginning with verse 4, and we'll read through verse 11, and then we're going to go back and see what we can find in those verses. And the writer of Hebrews says, you have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons, which said, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom the Father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which you have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? for they indeed, for a few days, chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. My topic for today is discipline. You know, the modern way of discipline is time out. Where's Trip? Trip, have you ever had been put in time out? You never have? Now, I don't believe that. I was talking to a man just the other day who has a couple of teenage boys in the house, and he said that he has found that the thing that gets their attention more than anything else is to withhold something from them, like that telephone. He said, man, you take the telephone away from that oldest boy, and he just goes berserk. He has to have that telephone. Well, that is a form of discipline that he uses on those boys. Now, when I was reared, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't even have a TV or a computer or anything like that. Now, this may surprise you, but my parents actually spanked me. And now I didn't enjoy it. In fact, I hated it. But I shall repeat later in the message that today, to this day, I praise my father and my mother for giving me spankings. Now, sometimes spankings become whoopings. Do you know the difference? Now, a spanking is sometimes poppity poppity pop, but a whooping is a razor strap, a belt, or anything that the parent can grab. My mother, honestly and truly, one day at church took me outside. You don't have any trouble believing that, do you? Well, she took me outside, and the closest thing, now I'm not lying to you, if mother were alive and sitting here today, she would vouch for it. The first thing mother picked up was a 2x4. I thought, oh, she's going to kill me now. But she just threatened me with it. A big old board, guys. And anyway, a spanking and a whooping sometimes is a very good remedy in bringing about discipline. But more to the point this morning, we want to discuss divine discipline. Now I know 90% of us in here this morning don't have children living at home. But that does not pull us away from the need of or the reception of divine discipline. That's what the writer of Hebrews was talking about. He wanted to instill in their minds, those Jewish Christians, instill in their minds that the Lord God, as our Father, offers and gives to us discipline in our life. Now, I'm always interested in definitions. If someone says something to me and I don't understand it, I will ask for a definition. Well, I looked up a very fancy definition for divine discipline. Now, don't get so bored when I read it, but it has a lot of meat in it. I got bored when I first read it, but the more I read it, the more I appreciate it. And here's what one person said about divine discipline. He says, it is the divinely ordered corrective action through which God motivates his children to turn away from sin and or to identify, to entertain or to return to the post-salvation spiritual experience. Did you get all of that? I think you did. It is to motivate the recipient to learn of and to repent of, to confess and to forsake sin. Did you know that when God disciplines you, that that's what he's doing? He is calling you and me to turn away from something and to turn toward Him. That's divine discipline. Now, sometimes we get confused about discipline as related to punishment. There is a big difference in discipline and punishment. I think all of the times that my parents spanked me, they had discipline in mind. Or that's what they were doing, is trying to discipline me. But I think sometimes they had in mind punishment. You see, discipline from the hand of God is for His children and only His children. God does not punish His children. Why do I say that? I say that because the Lord Jesus received and all of the punishment for our sin on the cross of Calvary. Therefore, He has taken all of our punishment. And punishment is for retribution. But discipline is for correction. And that's what the writer of Hebrews was trying to tell us in that. Here's a good biblical example, and that's old Jonah. If you remember, Jonah disobeyed God. God told him to go to Nineveh and to preach, because their sin has come up before me. Jonah did not want to go. Won't go into all the reasons why he didn't want to go. He didn't. He fled, he thought, from the presence of God. But then along comes a big old fish. Now, we all call it a whale, but the Bible just calls it a fish. I read about a little girl one time at school in science class. The teacher was teaching about animals. Here's this kind of animal, here's that kind of animal. And she said, the largest of all animals is the whale. Well, that's true. And then the teacher said, the throat of the whale is not large enough to swallow a man. And therefore, the account in the Bible is not true. And a little girl, sweet little girl in the class, spoke up and said, but ma'am, the Bible says that God created a fish. And I do believe that that fish, whether it be a whale or a minnow, swallowed Jonah. And then the little girl said, teacher, I know you don't believe that, but when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask the Lord about that. And then, said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah about that. Jonah, was that a big fish? Did that fish really swallow you? And I'm going to ask him that. And then the teacher said, well, what if Jonah's not in heaven? And the little girl said, well, then you ask him. Yeah. So, now, when he got in that fish, you and I would think that was punishment, but it was not. It was God disciplining Jonah, having him to turn away from his rebellion and turn back in the direction of the Lord. So, let's just mark it down. Divine discipline is a very important attribute of God. Did you hear what the writer of Hebrews said? Said, what a father will not discipline his child? If he loves his child, he will discipline his child. Boy, my parents must have loved me a whole bunch. And I still love them for it. I do. But if a parent does not love their children, they probably will not offer discipline, the right kind of discipline. And that's why God disciplines you and me, is simply because He loves us. And He desires us to become more like His precious Son, the Lord Jesus. Now, in the old Roman days, now I hope every kid in the room today will listen to this. If you were a Roman child and you had a Roman father, he had complete authority over you. Complete authority. He could, if you disobeyed one of his orders, he could take you out and stone you, throw rocks at you. And he had the authority to kill you or to sell you. Now, you got a good daddy, don't you? Or to sell you as a slave, and no one could do anything about it. Now, that was the Roman father. Now, I want you to take in contrast the Hebrew father. The Hebrew father did not have, or the Jewish father did not have that authority, but rather they were taught by their scriptures to bring up a child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They were taught to teach the scriptures to the children, and in so doing, that would bring about from them, possibly and more than likely, bring about the correction that was needed. Here are three passages of scripture I'll share with you from Proverbs. Says, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. I like that word, promptly. I know usually when I was disciplined by my parents that it was promptly. I mean, here it was committed and boom, here it was. I remember one time, I don't know what I did. It probably wasn't worth any discipline, but I did something that upset my mother. And I remember she said, buddy, I'm going to spank you, but not right now. She said, if I were to spank you right now, I'd probably kill you. I will never forget that. I said, well, Mom, put it off a week or two, you know, whatever. Yeah. But that's what the Bible teaches. And then in Proverbs 22, it says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Look at this. The rod of correction will drive the foolishness from him. That's why we were disciplined by our earthly parents, and that's why God disciplines us. Precisely. And then one other, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. That's one thing that I just irks me to death, to go into a store and there's a mother and one or two little ones, and one of those little ones is acting up. They're screaming, they're hollering, they're pulling stuff off the shelf. And I hear that mother say, now, Freddie, quit doing that. I just want to go over and say, hey, boy, quit doing that. You know, that's a little bit better, I think. Left alone, left undisciplined, no telling what will come out of the children. Now, I know, like I said a while ago, 90% of us in here don't have children at home, so that might not apply to you. But yet it applies to us in reference to the divine discipline that God gives to us. Now hang on to this. This is so important. If God disciplines you, it proves that you are His son or daughter. If you never receive any discipline from the Lord, you might ought to talk to the preacher about getting saved and becoming a child of God. Because if He disciplines you, that means you're one of His. You're His child. Now then, let's go on. Now remember, you owe me 30 minutes. And I may cash it in today. And by the way, after I finished writing this sermon, I got to thinking, you know, I'm preaching to a bunch of senior adults. what in the world does this sermon have to do with senior adults who don't have any children or grandchildren around? And then I remember one time an old preacher told me, said, "Buddy, if God gives you a sermon, you better preach it." And that's true, because you never know when you deliver a message, even though the topic may be out the window somewhere, you never know how the Holy Spirit of God can apply that to this heart and this heart and this heart. That's His business. It's not mine. But then I realized that even senior adults, of which I am, are in need of and probably rather often receive divine discipline. If I were to ask the crowd this morning, how many of you have received discipline from the Lord? I'm not going to ask you, but would you raise your hand? I would know that 100% of us who know God as our Savior would raise our hand. Yes, I have been disciplined by the Lord. I've been asked before, how do I know I've been disciplined? What does God do to discipline us? I tell you what, we may get into that next week. But I do realize, again, as I repeat myself, that as senior adults, we are recipients of God's divine discipline. I pastored a woman in Cisco. Her name was Miss Bean. Miss Bean was a little bitty, you think I have a short wife. This little Miss Bean was about that tall, retired school teacher. And I heard she was a mean character in the classroom. And anyway, one Sunday I preached along a sermon there, and we had a whole bunch of teenagers in that church. And I preached along, and I was talking about teenagers being tempted in their life. And that's all I said, that teenagers face a lot of temptation. After church, she came down that aisle where I was at the front, and she shook her little old finger in my face, well, like this. And she said, "Brother Buddy," she said, I know that teenagers face temptation. She said, "But I want you to know, preacher, old people face temptation too." I went, "Well, thank you, Miss Bean." So the next Sunday, I mentioned what Miss Bean said, that older people face temptation too. After church, here she came. And I thought, what did I say wrong this time? And she shook her finger in my face, and she said, "Preacher, you're exactly right. Old people face temptations too." And I said, "Well, thank you, Miss Bean, but you're the one that told me that." And she said, "I knew I'd heard that somewhere before." Do you agree with Miss Bean? We older people face temptation as well. Now then, I want to start drawing this to a close by looking at what the Scripture indicates and gives us some guidance when we face divine discipline. One of the first things that the writer said in verse 4 was, "Have you forgotten the instructions that you've received?" And so that is point number one. All that I've been giving you from here back, that's the introduction. Now I'm getting into the sermon. The first point would be, when we face divine discipline, we should remember Holy Scripture. That's what the writer of Hebrews said. Have you forgotten the instructions that you have received? The second thing that he mentions is that we should not, when we are under divine discipline, despise that discipline. Now, I guarantee you, I never enjoyed the spankings that I received or any other kind of discipline. I never did walk up to Mother and Dad and say, "You know what? I think I'd like to have a spanking right now. They are so much fun." I don't know how many of us go to the Lord and say, Lord, I think I need to be disciplined. Just pour it on me. Well, the Bible teaches us that, you know, it's not fun, but it is for good results. And he said, do not despise or hate the discipline that we receive. Remember, when he disciplines us, it is an example and an illustration of his love for us. Did your parents, before they gave you a spanking, did they ever tell you, hey, this is going to hurt you, hurt me more than it hurt you? I think that's the biggest lie in the world. You know, I'm thinking, well, if it hurts you more than me, why aren't you hollering and screaming and crying? But when I spanked my sweet little daughter for the first time, I understood. I understood. And you know, God doesn't get a big kick out of disciplining us. He doesn't want to, but he has to. And the third thing is, he said, do not despair. In other words, when we get receive divine discipline from the Lord, we do not despair or give up or quit. Say, it's not worth it. That's what he was saying to us. And then the last thing he said, the fourth thing was to endure the discipline. Now, they used to teach in the seminary that when you preach a sermon, don't ever confess anything to the crowd. You know, I never understood that. I was real young when I was taught that. But then I realized, you know what? The congregation needs to understand, you already know this, they need to understand that this old boy up here lives just like you do. I face temptations. I sin. I remember baptizing my granddaughter in Pennsylvania. I flew up there. No, she got baptized in, DFW, somewhere around there. And I drove up there one Sunday morning to baptize her. Sweet little girl. And she had trusted in the Lord. And I baptized her. And so one day she comes in, and she tells her mother, says, Mother, you better call Pawpaw and tell him to come back up here because he needs to baptize me again. And Sampty said, why? Why does Pawpaw need to baptize you again? And she said, because, Mommy, I have sinned and I need to be baptized again. So Sampty took time and explained to her that people who are saved still commit sin. And she says, Macy, I have sinned. Your daddy has sinned. And she's, you know, nodding her head. And Pawpaw has sinned. And my sweet little granddaughter said, oh no. And my sweet daughter said, You know, we're just like you. And there have been moments in my life when I have done things that were flat wrong. And I knew at the instant that it was committed, I knew that I was going to hear from the Lord. And I did. And I didn't despise it or reject it, but I endured the discipline of the Lord. Now, I know my time's about to run out, but just let me share this with you. I am sure proud that the Bible says that that discipline doesn't last forever. I'm proud I knew that one time when the Lord was disciplining me, that it lasted for a while. It did. But oh, the joy after it was over with, and I realized it, and I repented of that and turned away from it. The joy of that fellowship that was renewed with the Father. Well, let's go on. When you and I are disciplined, the biggest thing about it is to correct us. When we wander away in sin, and God disciplines us to bring us back. David is a great example of that. My goodness. David committed adultery. David had Uriah killed, and on go on. Those aren't just the two sins that David committed. He committed many, many, many sins. But I want you to know the Lord in His love and by His Spirit corrected David and brought him back. And then divine discipline can be used in a preventive way. You remember Paul had a thorn in the flesh? Now, we always point right here. And I think the reason is we point right here, the rib cage. That's where it all began when God removed the rib from Adam. And that's where it all began. But he said he had a thorn in his flesh. Asked God three times to remove it. God said, no, you need that thorn. I don't know what it was, and none of us do. Paul, you need that thorn. Why? So you won't become so arrogant. So you'll remember to rely upon me. So the rest of his life, Paul dealt with that discipline that always prevented him in becoming something God didn't want him to be. There's some other things to share, but I think that's probably enough for today for us to realize that when we wander away from the Lord, He will discipline His children. That's you and that's me. And He does it out of love and compassion and concern for us. Now I leave you with this. How do you know when you're being disciplined of the Lord? First of all, you realize that you have wandered away from the Lord. I don't know what that might be in your life. Don't have any idea. It's none of my business. But we realize that we have wandered away from the Lord. And then we realize that since we have and we belong to Him, that we're going to hear from the Lord. One way or the other. One way that the Lord has to discipline His children is the fellowship that we have with the Lord is less. Not relationship, but the fellowship that we have with the Lord is less. And boy, don't we know that. I remember my parents, sometimes they wouldn't talk to me for a while. That hurt. I didn't have that close relationship with my mother and my father. That fellowship was broken and gone, but it always came back after the discipline. Think on these things this week as you walk with the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to You at this moment with my heart and my soul arrested because of what we have read and gleaned from Your holy word today. And Father, we know that discipline must come because we belong to You. And You love us as a father loves his son or his daughter. So, Lord, we just ask that by Your precious Holy Spirit, You may move in our midst this morning and draw from us that confession and that commitment that we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.